This is a Life School Podcast, episode number 158, and today we're going to talk about God's dream for you with our very special friend and guest, Joe Saxton.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Welcome to the Life School Podcast, where each week you'll learn how to live with greater intentionality and an integrated faith that naturally fits into every area of life. This is the stuff that your parents, teachers, and pastors forgot to tell you. I'm Heath Hollinsby, and I'm here with your host, Caesar Kalinowski.
Hello, Heath. How's it going today, brother?
Good, man. Beginning of April.
Here we are, right? And this is a good day. It's not April 1st, is it? No, it's not April Fool's Day. We're not fooling anybody, but it's a good day because we have a very hard to snag and awesome guest with us today.
Yeah, right? Joe Saxton, huh?
Oh, man. She's actually a really good and somewhat long-term friend.
Okay.
Kind of met on the road and out speaking at conferences and just kind of blown away by her as a person,
sure.
As a mom, as a leader. I wish we could talk about 10 things today.
Killer
accent, which, you know, when you mix Nigerian with like from London, you know, British,
yeah, awesome.
You know, so it's like crazy. But I don't want to say too much more other than, gosh, I love and respect her so much. She knows that. Let's bring her on because she's going to tell us a lot of her story as we get started.
Great. Joe, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
I just finished your book, The Dream of You, and it was absolutely incredible.
Thanks.
It was amazing how much of that clarified some stuff that I've actually gone through in my own life. And you have such an incredible story of how you came to faith and then stepped into leadership. Would you mind taking just a couple minutes to share a bit of that story with our listeners?
Yeah, because it's not, Joe, it's not the average story you have.
Yeah.
Immigrant parent.
You're right.
And in the intro, we were just having a little bit of fun with, you know, you have a unique accent because it's not from one place. And you've lived in a lot of, anyway. So, yeah, let's hear a little bit of your story and how you came into faith, but also into leadership. Because I know you in that phase of life. Like, we didn't grow up together, but I know you as a leader and one of my absolute favorite speakers and like prophets to like put me like, whoa, I got to think hard and pray hard about this.
Thank you. Well, my faith journey, and very much a journey, I think began when I was quite small. My background is Nigerian, and within my family, my grandparents are Muslims, were Muslims, and there are a number of faiths represented in our family. So it wasn't kind of, I didn't get to inherit a Christian faith in any measure.
Yeah. You're an accidental Christian.
There's no such thing, but
I'm kidding.
But you know what I mean. And what happened, I actually came to faith through a children's club that where these, God bless them, this couple who were missionaries basically in the inner city in a Methodist church down the road, basically had a heart for the kids in the neighborhood, and they gave their all. And they were the kind of people I say like Hebrews talks of when it says the world weren't worthy of them, you know, because they went through a lot of tough times. Yeah. And
thank you for them.
I know. I'm so grateful. And they were very intentional reaching out to the kids in the neighborhood. And one of my friends said, you should come along to this kids club. And I said, why? And she said, because there are snacks and there are games and it's awesome.
That's the only reason I went to Sunday school as a kid.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid and cookie snacks.
So. Yeah. I gave my life to Jesus because I got a sucker every week that I did it. And so
seriously, not all consumption is bad, friends. Not all consumption is bad. So, and I remember them talking to me about Jesus and me, first of all, trying to work out where he was in the room because they talked about him so in such a familiar way. And then them describing Jesus. And I remember one of them said, you know, you can talk to Jesus about anything, even your teachers.
I'm in.
I was 9 and I'm like, seriously, that is like the best ever. And I remember, I mean, this is probably some indicator of how, of my personality. I remember going up to the youth leaders and saying, are you going to have a time when you kind of give a talk at the end of the evening, tell everybody about Jesus and offer an invitation for people to come?
I want to sign up. How do I sign up?
And because when you do that, I will then become a Christian. Mm. So wow. I need you to set a date for you to do that quite soon.
Oh, wow.
How did you even know that was sort of the old school standard program?
I'd seen and heard similar things. I'd heard about it. Some of the other kids in the group had talked about this kind of holy moment they had. and I just thought it was time to get mine, you know?
Let's get in on that.
I was like,
let's get in on this good news. This guy sounds amazing. I want to know this Jesus better.
It was awesome. And they were very gracious, and they arranged one for a few weeks later. And when they said, if you want to come to Faith, stand up, I just shot up and said, it's my time.
I mean, yeah. And then you said, and I've been working on some messages, so I'm just going to go ahead and get up right now.
I did bring a friend with me, and she came to Faith as well that night. Amazing.
So now jump way ahead. And I mean, golly, so much stuff. I know you're deeply connected. Our listeners know, you know, 3DM. You're deeply connected to 3DM, and that's kind of how we met. Mike Breen has been a big part of your life and a great spiritual parent. I know, right?
Yeah, and that was in my college years. And I think for me, all things missional just seemed like a very natural. It had a very natural resonance to me. In terms of obviously my church back, my journey to faith was someone invited me. And very much in the way I was discipled, that was the expectation. We assumed we were sent to people. And yeah. So when I got to college,
why isn't that more normal? Holy cow! That's another episode.
Yeah, I know. But I guess with the UK as well, I think the church attendance was not at its highest, shall we say?
Yeah, so, sure,
so that I think was part of it too. And in my college years, I remember thinking, I'd been to Bible college for a couple of years before, moved to university in Sheffield, was looking for a church, basically walked in, and people were friendly. I mean, that was a kind of litmus test. And some of my college friends went there, but I was very much aware, like, college is a time when the lid comes off your life in so many ways. Sure. And so the things that I'd managed, coped with, ignored throughout my childhood and my late teens when I had a little sojourn away.
As you do.
one, it was so boring as well. Can I say it was one of the most overrated 6 months of my life? I remember going to the church and just thinking, right, I just want to get rooted, but there's a lot I don't know. And I remember meeting Mike and Sally around that time in a fish and chip shop, which is obviously a bastion of English.
Love it.
Glory.
You like mushy peas?
I do. I love peas.
I do too. And so many Brits hate on them, and I love them.
I know. And they're wrong, Caesar. They're wrong.
Okay.
Let's
good.
Just be honest now.
I'm glad we settled that. I feel even closer to you. So how'd you make the jump then into leadership? So community seemed normal. Outreach in the sense of true outreach, like let's treat people like family and let's get them in here. You know, how did you make the leap to God giving you a voice and finding yourself in leadership?
You know, I think I've thought a lot about this because I get asked, and I feel like it happened to me. I mean, from when I was a kid, like when I was 12, that was the first time I preached. And it was at our church where I'd become a Christian, and we were doing an outreach to our community. And they said this time the kids were going to run it, so I was given the talk.
Did you do an altar call at the end?
I think I did.
Heck yeah.
I think I did all kinds of altar calls at the end.
I see that hand bang.
Anybody's got a dog, come forward kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, I was very welcoming, shouldn't I say. Mm-hmm. And at school, I was often the captain of teams. I was often given positions in the class to kind of represent the students. And I was always volunteered. And I just didn't. I never had a good reason to say no. Mm. I wasn't that comfortable with it, but I never had a good reason to say no. So I was kind of used to being that person who was put in charge throughout my childhood.
So Joe, I gotta say, I'm picking up on a pattern here already with your story. Accidental salvation, accidental Christian, accidental leader. Here you go.
I know. I'm just kind of walking around clueless, I think. I'm the last to know.
No, actually, what I would say the pattern is just say yes. Like people they miss it. They're not saying yes to Jesus. And like you said, that 6 month sort of walk away was pretty boring. And then you said yes to leadership because it was presented. And I wonder how many of us, boy, does this tie into the book that you just wrote? And we're going to talk about Dream of You. Does this tie into people don't say yes to things because they don't believe this, what God says is true of them. And they don't believe the dream that God has. Let me just say this right away. Heath and I both love your book, The Dream of You.
Yep.
Okay. And, It it's really addressing folks learning how to be comfortable with who God says they are, which is like our sort of well-worn topic on the show is we're yeah. always talking about identity. We always. Just do because we think it precedes everything.
Yeah.
And why is it so important to you? And I am so stoked that you're writing and talking about this. And I know you well enough to know that you have been. It's not like it sprung up, you know, this week or, you know, this month when the book ships. But why is identity so important to you, Joe?
I think probably because it, throughout my faith journey, it was one of those deciding things I had to really fight for. And that when I came to faith, it was like the battle began. And it was like, was I going to believe what God said about me? And it was so far removed from the world I was in. And look, I would read these things about who I was because of Christ and the transformation. And I began to encounter that level of transformation. And I noticed, again, another pattern was the more I got into that, the bolder I was, the more free I was, the more passionate I was, and the greater purpose I felt. And any time I didn't feel those things, it stemmed from a battle over my identity.
Wow.
It really did.
I tell people all the time, the more they believe their identity, like seriously believe it as from Christ, the more authority and privilege they're going to live into.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't live beyond what we believe about ourselves anyway, but I think there is that that terrible thing that so many of us encounter. We're told lies.
Yeah. I mean,
we're told lies by our culture. We're told lies sometimes by significant figures in our lives. We're told lies by people we love.
The world,
and
the whole do
yeah,
to be,
the world.
Do to be. If you do this, then you'll be this.
Yep. And they limit us. And sometimes even the good advice limits us, you know? Yeah. And I think
like for instance, good advice that limits us or you.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when you're told not to rock the boat, when passivity is spiritualized sometimes, I think, nothing could ever change. So don't get worked up about this. Don't get worked up about these injustices because, well, you know, it's just the way of the world. And it is the way of the world. And that's true. But supposing that agitation is like that fire in your bones that Jeremiah had, supposing that agitation is God trying to get your attention. And on the other side of him getting your attention is something that you're called to do. Someone's trying to make you feel better. And I think and maybe trying to comfort or trying to just not make it awkward, trying to feel socially, make you socially fit by not saying something that people don't know how to answer. And I think it costs us. I think it costs, and I think it costs the work of the kingdom.
Absolutely.
You know
this, what it reminds me of, it kind of ties in closely is, one of the things that really stood out to me in the book was this whole concept of losing your voice.
Mm.
Yeah, like over time, like your identity just gets stolen away from you and battered out of you. Would you mind unpacking that concept a little bit for our listeners who haven't gotten a chance to read the book yet and how we lose our voice over time?
Yeah, I was fascinated when I first started looking at this, realizing that the word voice comes from voc or vox in the Latin, and it's the same root word from where you find your vocation. The word vocation, vocare. And I understand our voice as the kind of, it's like the living representation. It's your identity out loud, you know, your passions, your thoughts, dreams out loud and articulated for the world around you. And I think the example I give in the book is of a period of time where I was bullied, where every action I had and the way I looked and the way I dressed was criticized day after day after day. And it got more and more convenient to get a little smaller, to hide away, to try and avoid conflict and confrontation with the people who were bullying me. But also realizing that the bullying tapped into my deepest fears that what they said was true.
Wow.
And I think what happens with us when we lose our voice is we're told our voices don't count. We don't see our voices represented in the world around us. You have some like devastating experience where you're numbed and you're silenced.
Sure.
And the things that God has wired you with, the ways that you are created, are muted or just eroded. Hard times can cause us to lose our voice.
Sure.
And sometimes we lose it in our informative periods of our lives, like our formative years. Like I'll give you an example. When I was being mentored by someone once, I talked about pioneering and being called to that. And they said, oh, you know what? That's just a fad.
Huh.
Pioneering is a fad. Don't even think about it. And I remember just feeling crushed because it took all the courage I had to say it. And then to hear from someone who loved me and who in many other respects had been really good for me. I don't think they had any, I mean, they apologized a few years later, but, because I ignored them, but, but in that time it was soul crushing. It was soul crushing to think, I really feel there's something in this. I'm not saying I've got it right, but there's something in this. Yep. And then to have it feel so minimized and belittled and dismissed, it was even the hand action was dismissed, was dismissive as well.
We're all picturing that now, like meh, hand going.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, and as she swept the things I'd said away, my voice went with it.
Gosh, that's tragic.
You know, and today there seems to be in the media, in a good way, this there's a big uprising about, listen, everyone has a voice, and people you need to believe the good things about yourself, and especially around being female, right, and being a woman, and wow, about time. And yet, I got to say this, and here I am sitting in my white privileged seat of podcasting today, but what the difference here is are we finding our voice in light of who God says we are, or was what was supposed to be true of us and is true of us because God created us in his image and Christ is recreating us, has that all been squished out of us? And then I think sometimes the other side of that coin, at least the way it's coming off on TV a lot, is like, so you go out and make your own identity.
Yeah.
You build a you and you show everybody. And that's different. Because now you're on a treadmill that you created, and you got to keep it up.
Absolutely, and there are a lot of voices out there telling us what to think and be. And I think the dilemma is, people have been silenced, and women in particular, and those on the margins, people of color, have been silenced for so long.
Yeah.
So long. I think we're seeing the cost. I mean, we're clearly seeing the cost of when our voices haven't been heard, and we're seeing the devastating impact, and we're seeing the grief out loud. You know, and the devastation, and we're seeing the dark consequences of what happens when you silence and you crush and bully. And I would say that is one part of a healing journey, but it's not the full part of the healing journey. It's an important and it's a valid part of the healing journey. And honestly, I think, you know, when you've silenced and minimized and abused and oppressed people for this long, this is what you should expect. You should expect people's voices to be loud, and as you said at the beginning, Caesar, and to sit and listen and take it in, and then ask the question, what does redemption look like? What does fully fledged fullness, and the question I often ask in the book is, who were you before anyone said who you were supposed to be? And what I think we've seen, and what I've encountered, is people tell me throughout my life who I was supposed to be because I'm a woman, who I'm supposed to be because I'm black, who I'm supposed to be because I grew up in the inner city and because I'm poor. Or
who you're supposed to be because you're a Christian.
Or who you're supposed to be because you're
not
a Christian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And X, Y, you know what I mean? And the list sadly goes on. Right. And I think what we've had, there had been times in my life where it's like, I'm not those things. I'm not the stereotype. I'm not, definitely not that bigoted statement. I'm not that sexist comment. I'm not that all of those things. Nor am I a reaction to those things either. I'm actually who God said I am.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
And I think I think for us as church, I think we have responsibility, and I think a call to help for ourselves to do that journey and to lead others in that journey as well.
That's awesome.
That's wow. Powerful. And I hope, I just want to underscore one thing. It's like, what was your voice and who were you before people started to squish that out of you? I didn't say it as well, but that I want to give people permission to hear that, hear what Joe's saying, and go back and think through that. Who were you? What were those dreams? You know, the Bible says that God gives you the desires of your heart. And I don't think that means you desire it up and God's a genie. He'll give it to you.
Yeah. Totally.
Like, I really like a new Tesla. Let's go, God. You know,
wouldn't we all?
but I think God gives us the desires of our heart, and we long for those things. And then as he fulfills them, we see his grace and his glory and how awesome he is. And this is speaking into that. Let's move to some practical stuff, if we can, Joe. What are some practical things that you'd give folks who are actively seeking to move towards their true identity? Maybe go back in time in some ways, both in life, but also into, like, I don't know if I've ever even heard God's voice. You share some practical stuff in the book as well. So just whatever comes to mind, let's give our listeners a few. Here's some things we can get started with.
Yeah. I would say, first of all, don't be too quick on the unpacking how you got here. I've, do you know what I mean? In terms of where you're at now and all the voices that have defined them, I would, and I spend a lot of time getting people to take a long, hard look at what they've become, partly because if we whiz past that bit, we don't actually get to the freedom piece.
Sure.
So, or it's a sort of lasting piece. You know what I mean?
So don't expect to go from darkness straight to like, bing, cleaned up,
yes,
light, got it.
Totally.
Yeah. Perfect voice now.
So, I'd say, first of all, I encourage people to take their time on that. And you know, for sometimes, depending on what's happened to people, that might be counseling, that could be all kinds of things that as they begin to unpack, because things come up as you begin to do, as you begin to explore this stuff, when you realize the journey it's been, it can be quite, there can be a grieving process there.
Sure.
So I like to encourage people, but as they go on that journey, some of the things I encourage people to get in touch with is what things they like. You know, the amount of people I've asked, what things do you like to do? And they don't know anymore because they've lost their way. They've been so busy working, they've forgotten their clear passions and the things they enjoy. And so I ask people, what sort of things make you happy? What sort of things make you angry? If you could do anything in the world, if you could change anything, or do anything and you weren't afraid. You know, those kinds of questions that we use to explore calling and vocation. I ask those kinds of questions. And I ask them as questions because we're wanting people to flex a muscle they've not flexed for a long time about thinking of those things and getting in and unearthing those things again.
Sometimes I'll ask people to try to just unleash a little something is, what would you be doing in 6 months or in a year from now if money and or time or your certain circumstances were not an issue?
Yes.
Well, but yeah. I'm a parent we're broke but what if none of that was an issue? What would you be doing? Perfect world. God loves you. You ask him, he goes, yep, there you go. What would you be doing in 6 months? You know,
that's cool.
I think that's a huge one. I often ask that alongside fear as well, because I think fear is such a pervasive, and I think it manifests itself in so many ways. It manifests itself in comparison, in perfectionism, in passivity, in unhealthy competition. And that, so I often ask people about what of your fears held you back from doing for 6 months? What is your, and if you continue to live by this fear, what's that going to look like in 6 months, a year, 2 years time? Almost for them to realize what the end result of their fears are, to come back to saying, I don't want to be like that. And then come back to this question of, sure, so if you weren't afraid, if time wasn't an issue, if money wasn't an issue, if opportunity, for some I've said, if opportunity and environment wasn't an issue, what would you do?
Yeah. And that's good, because I was just about to ask, like, what's it look like in a person? You're working with someone, or maybe what's it look like in the mirror even, but what's it look like, what's it sound like when a person's not believing what God says is true of them, they're not living out of their identity? What's that begin to look and sound like so we can start to identify that in ourselves and in others?
Yeah, I mean, when people say I don't know really too quickly, I think I've often, that's often a thing for me. When someone sounds passionate about something and they end it with I don't know, I almost resigned, I kind of say, what do you mean you don't know? Because you just sound like you did.
Yeah.
You just sound like you did know. And then but your sign out, your signature at the bottom is I don't know. And
probably not going to happen. ... Yeah.
And that, you know what I mean? It's that kind of, the kind of self-protective dismissal of all you've just said at the end, I think is something worth landing on with you. I think sometimes cynicism, where people sign off before they even begin. I mean, I'm the kind of person who likes to get behind, I like words, so I like to get behind the words that people use and the why they say them, because, you know, as the Bible says, the heart speaks, you know, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of.
Sure.
And so I just want to find out what we're full of right now, what we're full of on that front. And why? Because I think we're saying something. Those are some of the identifying things that I tend to listen out for, look out for. I mean, obviously there's body language and stuff as well.
As we've been discipling for years and building community and planting churches, as you have, Joe, I've found that this doesn't get, quote, repaired or sorted like in a weekend.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
like starting to believe a completely different story and version and value of yourself and who God created you to be and how he now sees you and the voice that he has for you. Boy, that's almost in the land of too good to be true, too far away kind of stuff for people. And it takes patience. It takes time. It takes constantly reminding, hey, you're a bird. You got wings.
Yeah.
you get to fly. You really do. I know you just walked here today, but Well, maybe tomorrow you'll fly.
All right. So speaking of that, Joe, I'm going to ask you for 60 seconds of free counseling as we as we start to land the plane here.
Here we go.
Because like what Caesar just said, I know for me personally, really trying to see myself as God sees me, it's harder than exercise. I mean, it's constantly reframing my thoughts and it's extremely difficult. And the way that God sees me is almost too good to be true. It is too good to be true. And it's almost unbelievable in that sense. So would you just spend 60 seconds encouraging me and maybe any of our listeners who are really having a hard time believing what's true about themselves?
I would encourage you to do a couple of things. I'd say it's okay that it's hard because and these things took a long time to get there. And I like Caesar's words about the story. What you're doing as you struggle to believe is you're rewriting a very old, long story, an ancient story. And to rewrite a story takes work and it takes effort and editing. And it's okay if you take two steps and then you don't want to write again. But I would encourage you to surround yourself with people who see the you that you're that you want to be, but you don't realize you are yet, and let them speak for you. Yep. I'd immerse yourself in verses of the Bible and stuff that remind you that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139 has been my go-to, and I'd read it in front of the mirror. I really would. I'd commit to, if you do need the extra help to get in the work, and I would try new things. Because if you're rewriting a story at some point, that's putting pen to paper and writing new words down. Yeah. You can't do that in your own head. You actually have to take a step, and it's okay that it's a baby step. Babies don't run marathons. They take single steps.
Yep. That's so good. Wow. Joe, it has been an absolute joy talking to you. Again, your book, The Dream of You, is absolutely incredible.
Thank you.
And hopefully we get to have you back on the show again.
Fun times. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. It'll take us another 6 years. No, I'm just kidding. Joe's a very, you know, listen, I've just finagled myself a speaking slot at a conference. 18 months in the working. I heard Joe was going to be at a conference. I was working with the same people and I go, she is? I want to speak there. And they're like, oh, okay. So they booked us in Chicago and in the frozen tundra. And then they booked us on opposing schedules. We never saw each other. So
completely like, different days. I was a little like, upset about that. I'm not going to lie. I was just like,
it was far easier to schedule the queen for one of the last podcasts we did. We had
Meghan Markle's going to be on right after you, and we're going to talk about that. And that took us a couple of phone calls, and we're, boom, Nusky. Now, blessings on you, sister. Thanks so much for being here, and thanks for believing the story that God's telling about you so that we all get to a little bit more as well.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right.
All right, Joe. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. All right, man, we could probably do a big 33 off of this episode. There's so much goodness, but we need to
We were flying, and yet it was so packed.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So the big three, we're going to get to that right now. If you're listening, this might be your first time listening. What that is the three takeaways that we want you to leave with right away. You
can if get nothing else, yeah. Big three, don't miss these, hey?
It's the condensed and distilled version of the podcast. And so you can get a free download of the big three by going to 123lifeschool.com/episode158. Again, that's 123lifeschool.com/episode158. Caesar, what are the big three takeaways?
Yeah, I'm going to give them to you now, but in case you go, they're still packed.
Yep.
I want to download them. Boom, it's free download.
You can print them out.
Okay, so here's the big three. First, we don't live beyond what we believe about ourselves.
Yeah, she said that.
Right?
Are you kidding?
So if we've been buried under years of lies and untrue beliefs about who God's created us uniquely to be, then I just want to remind us that, you know, He's created you to know this and to live out of some new things. And at first, it's going to all sound like lies.
Yeah.
Like you're going to start hearing this and go, ah, that can't be true. That can't be true. And it's going to sound unbelievable and it's going to sound too good to be true.
Because it is.
Yeah. Because it really, really is. But that's how awesome our God is and how big the gospel is. Right. So,
absolutely.
We get to live beyond what we've been thinking. Okay. Second, it's all right that it's hard to believe the new and better story that God's telling you. Right? It's going to be hard at first.
Sure.
Kind of just said that. And kind of parallel to that is don't expect to have a perfect voice at first, quote unquote. As you're beginning to live into your new identity and God's giving you a new voice, don't expect to have it be perfect at first.
Yeah.
Like it's not going to be perfectly clear and eloquent. Speak what you're now hearing from God and expect it to take some time to gain and to give others clarity. It's okay. God loves you and he wants to hear from you. And you know what? The rest of us need your voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the Spirit that'll make it clear and powerful and perfect. And just so you know, don't wait till someday you think you've got your message, your voice all perfectly clear and clarified to start because you'll never get there. Yeah. We need you.
Yeah,
we need your voice. Okay, and then third, your voice is your identity out loud. Joe said that. And I'm like, wow.
That's tattooable. Okay.
Yeah. Too late. I got it already. Just on the. So your voice is your identity out loud. Don't fear to try out your wings, okay? And try new things, to say new things, to go new places. If you believe God's calling you to a new place, like physically, go there. That might be part of how he's causing you to believe something new about yourself, or sure, calling you to a new voice. If it's a new role or a new job, try that. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. Go for it. If it's to a new calling, embrace it fully, knowing that in all of these, God goes with you, and he's already there.
Yeah.
God's never going to call you somewhere and then leave you and forsake you. So even though it might seem scary, he's there and he's waiting for you. You get to go for it.
That's beautiful, man. Thank you for those. Again, you can get those by going to 123lifeschool.com/episode158. If you want more information on Jo Saxton, you can go to her website. It's www.josaxton.com. And she's on Twitter and Instagram at Jo Saxton. And if you want to follow her on Facebook, it's the number one, Jo Saxton.
And check out her website, because you get a link to her podcast, too. And
you can get the copy of her new book there.
Yeah, and right. And you can get the goodness every week.
Speaking dates. So, yeah. If she's coming close to you, go see her. Time's up. We'd like to thank you for joining us. You can join us on our Facebook group. All you need to do is go to facebook.com, type in the Life School Podcast. We'll approve you to that. We get to do some fun stuff on there. A couple months ago, we did a Facebook Live recording of behind the scenes, and it's a cool place to hang out and have conversation about this topic. So join us on Facebook. And then if you don't mind taking the time to go to iTunes and leaving us a review, that's super helpful for us, and it allows us to get this podcast out to some new ears that haven't heard it before.
Yay, good stuff.
Hey, join us next week as we talk about leading a congregation into mission from the pulpit to the people. We hope you hang out with us then. For more information, you can visit 123lifeschool.com/podcast.